with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night Podcast. I'm Dwayne Perkins, joined as always by my lovely co-host, TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie. We have a very special guest. We round one up every week, and we discuss the movie. Right, TK?
That is right, Dwayne. That is correct. That is what the show is. We do have a very special guest. Our first return guest in podcast history. All of podcast history. No one's ever done this.
No one's ever had
a guest back twice. It might be because our original guest canceled today and he works down the hall from me. It might not. Either way, he's a super funny dude. Works with me on Tosh.0. He also has an amazing action movie podcast himself called Wham Bam Pow that he hosts with Rhea Butcher. And who am I forgetting?
Cameron Esposito.
Ricky Carmona. How's it going, buddy?
How's everybody? It's a pleasure to be back. Where's my Ric Flair robe? I want the whole production.
Just get the royal treatment for being the first return guest.
Yes.
Ricky is such an easy go-to guy if you need a last-minute guest, because I was like, who do I know that knows pretty much every movie without like rewatching it right now? I was like, Ricky will know this movie. Absolutely.
I saw Three Kings. I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I didn't even look at the calendar. I was like, I'll talk about Three Kings tonight. No problem doing it.
Canceled several shows to be here. How's it going, man? What have you been up to lately?
Everything has been going very well. Thank you. Well, we're back to work, as you know. So I've been back at work. I've been going to the movies a lot. I went and saw Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
We absolutely have to do that one.
I really wanted to, but I was out of town for the weekend, and the only time I was going to have time to watch a movie was like late night.
Yeah, we need to do that one. And people have to stop posting Straight Out of Wherever You're From memes.
Yeah,
We're good on them now.
I did one, and I felt bad about it. I was like, that was unnecessary, Ricky. There was no need to do that.
What was yours?
It was Straight Out of McRibs.
Oh, that's funny, though. That's actually funny. That's really great.
I'm sure I don't have to tell the listeners this, because if they heard your last episode, I guarantee you McRibs were mentioned at some point.
I'm sure I did.
Because Ricky fucking loves McRibs, guys.
If the McRib would have been out tonight, and I would have been like, oh, I'm going to go eat McRibs tonight, and you'd be like, hey, can you do the show?
Like, nah, man.
Bro.
I can't do it.
Busy. I got a dinner date.
Could have Skyped you in with the sauce all over your face.
You guys ever record a show at McDonald's? You guys ever do that?
So, without giving away anything, just... 1 out of 10, what'd you think of Straight Outta Compton?
I will give it, I'll give it an 8.5.
All right. That's good.
An 8.5.
It looks great.
Yeah.
I just was worried it couldn't be as good as it looked.
I like that honesty, because I'm so glad you didn't say 10, only because people have been losing their minds.
Dude, nothing's a 10.
And I just hope it's
nothing is a 10.
Like, great, you know, Shawshank Redemption, right?
So
let's, if it's Shawshank, say it's, give it a 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then if it's not, calm down.
You know what I mean? Like, 8.5 is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
And you're a discerning moviegoer. Like, Ricky doesn't give the high score to everything.
I compare it to, like, when you had that thing, like, do I like this thing? Or do I like the fact that this thing is just here now and like it?
Exactly. Everybody wanted that movie so bad.
I
was worried it was just getting way overhyped.
You just described 90% of my dating life.
Yeah,
that's where that stems from, though. Oh, do I like this girl? Or do I just like that this girl is there and I can like her?
When she gets up and leaves and the credits roll and you got to sit there and pretend that was really good. You're like, I'm going to tell myself it was great, but in a week I'm going to be like, you know what? Wasn't that good.
Yeah. And any girl I've dated, of course, I'm not talking
about
better. You.
All the good stuff was in the previews.
It's worth seeing. I mean, it is important in that sense. It's worth seeing, and it is great to have this movie.
Yeah.
But definitely, let's be... I would love to have an open-minded discussion about it with people, as opposed to, wasn't it? So that's the shit.
Yeah.
Easy. What?
I think... Like, I don't think you have to... like make excuses for giving an 8.5. Like that's pretty great.
I was highly entertained.
Yeah.
I was highly entertained through
that. That is good to know.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Any good movies recently on your podcast?
Last night we did Starship Troopers.
I almost picked that for this week.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. It holds up.
Nice.
It really like on a technical level too. Like all the effects in it.
Yeah.
Just like the solid blend of like practical and where CGI was at that point.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And that trailer is amazing. It made me watch the trailer again. Woof. The movie's fire.
See, this is fire. Why this is why Ricky gets the invite back. Only dude who I know that still gets pumped up for a trailer about a movie as old as Starship Troopers. He's like, man, that trailer was the shit.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't remember the trailer, you freak show.
It ends with that shot of like all the bugs coming in. Top 20 trailers of all time. Starship Troopers is on that list.
We're gonna start we're gonna do a shorter arm of this podcast. It's only 10 minutes long, and we're just gonna discuss just trailers with Ricky.
Let's do it. I'm in. I can put a list together real quick.
You know, to me, I would say, just based on what you're saying, it's like you're the king of trailers.
What kind of king? He's only one king.
He's only one king. But if we got our trailer game up, we'd be three kings.
We would be three kings. Dwayne blasting right into this week's movie.
I wasn't sure if it was time.
No, it's fine. It's time. We were headed there eventually, right? Yeah. We had to talk about it. This week's movie is Three Kings, directed by David O. Russell, starring George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, Spike Jones, Cliff Curtis, and Nora Dunn. What did we think of this movie?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. Dude, I know what you think.
It's a fantastic
movie.
It's
a great movie.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I will almost say that this could be a 4-star movie.
Yeah.
I was maybe 3.5, but 4 stars just in like, I wasn't expecting it to be, the first time I saw it, I just wasn't expecting it to be
not
that good.
Not at all. I completely forgot. Like the first time I saw it was, this came out in 99. I think I saw it in the theaters. And I was probably a little too young to get my head around the whole thing, mm-hmm. like how great it was. Like rewatching it, this was the first time I rewatched it. I'm like, this is fucking great. How have I never watched it between then and now? It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's amazing that it's like all about the first Iraqi war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that we went back again. It's just so crazy. It's almost like
we went back again with the first guy's son.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right. I saw a little snippet about this movie at some point, I guess, David O. Russell met George W. Bush.
Mm.
And it was, he said, you know, I directed this movie that kind of really called into question. And this was before George W. Bush was president. And he said, I directed this movie, really called into question what your father did and his motives in Iraq. And George W. Bush said to him then, well, I guess I'm going to have to take us back there and finish the job.
No.
Swear to God.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is according to David O. Russell, but I'm like,
that's crazy.
That is insane.
Oh, you like that first one? Wait till you see what I got playing next. Oh,
sequel.
God.
What's crazy is you almost feel like all the arguments for, like, not going back and was it a revenge of war? Did he just want to, because he tried to kill his father? Is that why George W. wanted to go? And it's almost like, I remember like all of the marches, like let's not do this. Some people obviously didn't want to do it because of it was like not kind of close to 9/11 and they were kind of using that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And I'm just shocked that no one ever just said, "Hey man, watch Three Kings."
Right. Just, somehow I think his favorite parts of this movie would be all the wrong parts. Right. Like George W. Bush be like, "Man, you see when they blew up them footballs?"
I mean,
I
no one
gas
said to the people
with milk in it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No one said to the people, "Watch Three Kings." It's eerie how like
I think this movie is still like a lot of people just don't know about it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so.
Like,
well, I don't know what it is. Yeah. I think when you see a poster for a war movie starring George Clooney,
sure,
who is great, but at the time that he was in this, was just on ER.
Yep.
Nobody thought shit about George Clooney. He was getting bigger, but he wasn't there yet. And then Mark Wahlberg and Ice Cube, like people are going to look at that and be like, all right, what the fuck is that movie?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know.
That poster reads to me like a Fast and Furious style movie.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
And this is like, this is such good performances by everybody in it. And it's so unbelievably well done for to try and make a war comedy that's not like Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
Yeah,
and it's they pull it off.
Yeah, what you're saying about George Clooney, him being on ER, like watching this movie, I can't remember right now which one came out first, Three Kings or Out of Sight. But when I watched both of those, I was like, George Clooney's a movie star.
Yeah,
I get it.
Well,
I see why he's going to be
right.
a big thing.
Yeah. I was so surprised to realize, I mean, he was already getting there. He had been in a couple movies, I think, before this, but he was still on ER.
Yeah.
And to realize that when I just sat down and watched this movie last night, and I was like, He's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And this was back when, like, being on TV and doing movies was still like, oh, good, you're trying. Good
yeah.
for you.
Who's this fake doctor trying to be in movies?
Yeah,
come on, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Be easy. Right. yeah, he was great. Everybody was great. It was such, like, I mean, I called it a comedy. It's obviously not. It's a comedy drama, but it's just everything is handled so perfectly. This movie is nothing like what I think anybody's preconceived notions of it were.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody thought they had their head around, like, I know what that is. I don't need that movie. And I think that's why it's still hugely underrated.
Yeah.
I think they do a good job, too, of, like, getting to the line, and very rarely do they cross the line where it's too heavy-handed, the message.
Yes.
You know, like, because it's so entertaining and fun to watch, and it's a good message, we get it. Like, the whole, it questions why we had this war, and... you know, I think they handled that well. Like, it wasn't like
it
too
asked,
much.
It asks really valid questions without putting too much, like, preachiness into it.
Exactly.
It's not
exactly.
Like, they're not saying we're 100% wrong either.
Sure.
You know, but they're pointing out that we did a lot wrong in the situation.
Right, right.
Like you said, they just, it was a very, like, deft hand that they did everything with. It was all done correctly.
There's really good, like, shades of gray in all the characters.
Right.
Like, obviously, you're watching the movie, and you're cheering for George Clooney and Cube and that crew. But you also have to realize, oh, these guys are there to steal money from these people, who, when you're exposed to who these people are, they're parents, they're kids, mm-hmm. They're just soldiers following orders.
Yeah.
They're not just, like, ex-grunt who shows up on screen and is trying to stop them from their mission.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
Everybody gets, like, a little bit of time, so you kind of start to go, wait, are these guys in the right and wrong?
No, it's very...
Right.
The whole movie takes
for?
Place. The war in itself is a very gray area.
Yeah.
All the characters are in this gray area. And this... Like, this sets up, if you say three soldiers go on a mission, a rogue mission, to steal Saddam's gold, that sounds like an action movie.
Sure. Is Michael Bay directing that? That's a Michael Bay joint,
action
right?
movie.
Yeah, yeah. yeah
right?
absolutely.
And it doesn't wind up there at all.
Yeah.
And it's so deeply layered.
Oh,
you
yeah.
wouldn't expect it to be.
Well, you love the end where, because, yeah, like, half the movie, up until they... When they see the lady get killed and they change what
Oof.
They you
yeah.
know what I mean? So up until that point, you're still rooting for them, but they're criminals, and it's almost like Ocean's 11 in the desert, right?
You exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're hoping
it reminds me actually a lot of westerns where
right,
it's like
right.
you know you're rooting for technically outlaws in a lot of these situations, but
right,
they're
right.
morally might be correct at some point. And like George Clooney's justification in this movie is that Saddam doesn't get to keep the gold,
right?
You know, and he's not going to give it back to Kuwait. So why shouldn't we just take it?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I get that. It's like he's Butch Cassidy.
Yeah. You're on board with that train of thought right away.
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Plus, he's beautiful.
Yes.
You're like, I'll follow you anywhere.
I'm looking into your eyes right now, George. You can say go to my mom's house and steal her clothes, and I'll be like, I'll get the car ready.
And it's ballsy too. It's ballsy to like, they didn't have to think about it. Like, as soon as they got the map, I love that. Like, it was like, get the map. Okay, we're on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
and
that scene where Clooney comes to take the map, that's a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to outrank him. Hey, man, just give me the map. Well, if I give you the map, I got to tell my guy.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's really smart. I love that.
Like, let's go get this goal. You know what I mean?
You can see the humanity in all of them.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they're like, we know there's a lot of money out there somewhere. And also, like, you know, Wahlberg and Spike Jonze and Ice Cube, when they first find the map, they think they're going to steal some watches.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like,
right.
You know, they're initially like, hey, we can make a little bank off of this, and it's just going to sit in some bunker anyway. But then when it's like, when you get told that one bunker might have like $23 million worth of gold bars in it, like, I put myself in their shoes. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking doing
it. Yeah, we're taking it.
I'm going.
Absolutely.
And as far as they know, too, the war is technically over. They're going to meet little to no resistance. They're just going to go out there, and they're going to do their thing, and they're going to come. I don't know where they were driving with the truck full of gold. But
they're scot-free.
I guess when you have a truck full of gold, you can make shit happen.
Right. And then they're scot-free,
mm-hmm.
and then a woman gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, like, that moment is great where it's like, okay, are we going to be these guys?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
and
no, we're not going
to
be these
even
guys.
Within this movie, leading up to that scene, you don't really know what this movie is. You're like, this is kind of a goofy caper film.
But
then that happens, and it's like, oh, shit, now there's like real moral stakes there.
What you think is going to happen is like some Iraqis are going to, you know, come, you're going to be under siege by like the Iraqi army, and it's going to be a lot harder than it, they thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a lot harder to take the gold. It's a lot harder to leave those people
there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. It, this movie turns on its head, like at a point where it could have just become an action movie,
right,
where they get the gold and now they have to outrun whoever's coming after them, including the U.S. Army or the Iraqi troops.
Right.
But it doesn't go there at all. And the, I just forgot how deep it was.
Yeah. Right. And then that scene at the end is so great. One of the scenes where, okay, now their superiors show up and they're like, what the hell are you guys doing? And when they make those people get in that cage,
yeah,
when they're right at the border, and it's so crystal clear, like the whole movie, it was sort of like, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? Mm-hmm. Then it's like, oh, Clooney is the good guy. Like,
sure.
If you had any doubt, he's the good guy, and it, then he gives up the gold. And the other two guys, they just don't get it. And that's, you know, they don't get it because they don't have that spirit, like the spirit of like risk, which is like, in this movie, everyone who took a risk also has humanity. They go hand in hand. So even though you're a thief, what it takes to be a thief, that's the same thing it takes to sort of like disobey orders.
Like,
To save someone's life. So it's the same thing inside you that causes you to disobey orders for the right or wrong reason.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, they know there's moral consequences to them.
Yeah.
Whether they're good or bad, what they do. All right. If we just let these people in this cage, they're probably going to get killed.
Yeah.
Can I live with that? Or if we let them go, I'm no longer going to be a millionaire. Can I live with that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, that's a very fun thing. Well, I shouldn't say fun, but that's just very interesting to watch characters go through that.
And I think you see kind of the con man in Clooney, though, even when he takes the moral high ground, because he knows...
says we didn't get the gold. Yeah.
He knows that, like... Yeah, there's no way I'm getting the gold now because I'm getting court-martialed. I'm going to prison. So if I don't tell them where it is, it's most likely just going to be buried there forever because realistically, it would be very difficult for him to get back and get it.
Yeah.
But I also think he sees when he told Nora Dunn to shoot the story when they were letting them cross the border, he was like, just shoot it and we'll see how it plays. Because he knows they're going to look like heroes in that situation.
Yeah.
They are freeing these refugees against the orders of their government. And in the end, you know, they get honorably discharged. He knows what he's fucking doing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you can take the gold. I'm going to get a book deal out of this shit. Like, he was doing the right thing, but he also definitely, he was really calculating. Yeah, yeah. It was fun to watch him change throughout the movie.
He's very smart and like, he's always able to like figure out right when the game is happening on him and to get one step ahead of the game.
Oh, big time.
You know,
big time.
It's great.
But it's amazing that these other soldiers can't do that. And it's just, it's fun for me to the juxtaposition of a guy who is still thinking on his own and guys who are just like, well, we can't let them cross because that's not our, and it's like,
yeah, for sure.
And it's like, because when he said we have 23 million, I thought those guys for a second were going to be like, oh, wait, hold up. Hold up.
I thought you said 2 to 3 million.
let's reconvene. Let's have a little huddle here. Let's talk this out.
but those guys just, you know, just robotically walk the walk, return the gold. And that's cool. You know, like, I think there's honor in that. But for me, I'm like, oh, okay, 23 million. Yes, we can't. Listen, these people are going to die. You know, I just thought they would, that'd have been too easy, but I would have liked if those other soldiers did that just to sort of break the spell of like the necessary brainwashing. I get it. You're a soldier.
Yeah.
You have to be brainwashed a little bit.
You could see, though, too, like in some of those scenes towards the end, you could see like the soldiers who were holding back Ice Cube kind of started to let him go when he was like, just let me go and I'll come right back to you. And also the weird Jim Gaffigan cameo.
Jim Gaffigan, absolutely.
I totally did not. I was like...
I forgot
Jim
about
Gaffigan?
That. Yeah.
But you know, they're telling him not to help out Mark Wahlberg, and he's like, he's torn. You know, they do a good job of showing you the humanity in soldiers in this, but also they do a good job of showing you how blindly some of them take orders. I mean, and they're supposed to, and I get that. But it's like sometimes you're like, fuck, like you're looking at these people, you're looking them right in the eyes, knowing that if we leave them there, they're all dead.
Oh, completely.
Like, how can you do that?
Yeah. Even in Saddam's army, like, where they shoot the lady on command, they shoot an unarmed woman.
Yeah.
But those guys at the castle, it's like, oh, Saddam's coming in like one limo. He's going to kill us. Yeah. Let's get out of here. It's like, wait. You guys have enough. You can kill him right now. Like, he's rolling up in like a stretch limo.
Saddam was like Galactus.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There was no, he was going to fucking step out of that limo and just crush them all.
Right.
craziness.
Those characters too, who do like these terrible things of like shooting this woman. When you meet like some of like their other like the ranking officials, like, and you hear some of the backstory, you understand, or can at least be like, all right, well, I know what has driven you so far.
Of course,
to take what you think is the enemy down.
Right.
I mean, the guy who's like torturing Wahlberg,
especially
those are,
him.
Those are some of my favorite scenes in the movie. That guy's just like, oh man,
he's just telling him like, I joined the army to pay for my family, to keep them alive and to keep them safe, and now they're dead because of you. Like, it gave a really great perspective on like the other side isn't just the bad guys.
Sure. Yeah, you can make a whole nother movie, another version of Three Kings, where those guys are kind of the good guys.
Yeah.
And the Americans are coming in.
Well, they are coming and steal their shit when the war's over.
Yeah.
Man, fucking assholes.
I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna Danny Glover this bitch. This is my last day.
let's get into these handful of questions that we do every week. We come up with a couple games related to the movies. First one, rename it. Three Kings. One of my only problems with the name of this movie is for 90% of the movie, there's four of them. And like, I get the analogy, but like, don't just fucking be like, nah, let's just call it that anyway. It was supposed to be called Spoils of War.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
Yeah, good. But I mean, Three Kings is fine, but whatever. We have to do this. So rename it. What do you think, Dwayne?
What I have is, I think it's a good title. The Right Thing for the Wrong Reasons.
Ooh.
Oh, come on.
Always a comma in your titles. They're always long. Although that was short for you.
Yeah, that was pretty short for me, wasn't it?
Mine was Middle East Three Amigos.
Ooh.
If you look at the plots of these two movies, they weirdly line up where like these three guys or group of guys set out to like do something for money. And then they realize they have to morally help out the people. It's Three Amigos, guys. It's a total ripoff. What do you think, Ricky?
I went because the stars, as we said earlier, Ice Cube and Straight Outta Compton went out. So I thought I would kind of bring those two together. I went with 100 Miles and Gold Digging.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I like it. Let's go to number two. Make a drinking game out of it. We do this with every movie because, I'm an alcoholic. I'll start this one off. One of my only problems with this movie, and I will never understand until David O. Russell tells me to my face, why did they name Ice Cube's character Chief when that sounds like a rank? And I know it's not, but it's very confusing. I'm like, is Chief a military rank that I don't know about? Because he's Sergeant Chief something. It's very confusing. It upsets me a lot. It's like having a character in your army movie, like straight up, Black Hawk Down, named General Major Dave. What? Your name is Major Dave in real life? I don't get it. What do you think, Dwayne?
Mine pretty simple. Mine is pretty simple. Every time they lose gold, meaning like, so they start off with a certain amount, and every time they have to barter, or okay, you know what, we need to get over there. Take this chunk of gold. Every time they lose a little bit of gold, you drink more and more and more. Yeah.
One of the best comedic turns in the movie is when Clooney gives that long, like impassioned America speech. George Bush wants you because he's trying to get these guys to give them cars for free, and they're all fucking hooping and hollering. They're in on it, and he's like, so, and the guy's like, can I give you the cars? Yeah. He's like, all right, I guess we'll pay for it.
That is really great. I love that moment.
What do you think, man?
I had a couple here. I went every time Spike Jonze says something stupid.
Oh no.
Oh wow.
You're not gonna get out of the first act, man. That's gonna fucking die.
Every time Cube scowls, solid
again,
Ice Cube
not making
scowling.
It out of his Does he have any other facial expression? I think he scowls while smiling. It's impressive, really.
And anytime there's kind of like just like these crazy Arrested Development cutaways where like somebody will say something and then it shows you an act out of that.
Like inside of a person's body or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Things like that. Like I was telling TK earlier, I love the shot of them saying what they do for a living.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Spike Jonze shooting teddy bears in the middle of who knows.
I don't exactly have a day job, sir.
He's so great in it.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's so great.
I also, one of my other favorite, just the funny thing that they keep doing over and over is whenever anybody tells another character that Spike Jonze, he doesn't have high school. He doesn't have high school. He's like, don't tell people that.
Stop saying that.
It's so
stop
funny.
Stop saying that.
Let's recast this movie that no one should ever recast, because it's honestly everybody's. I can't think of a single performance that was like even Wahlberg at his Wahlbergiest in this movie, like very young Wahlberg, where he sounds like Andy Samberg's impression of him. Very high, very says okay a lot. Like, but he's fucking great.
He's great.
But if we did have to recast it with comedians, who do you go with?
Ricky, it would have to be one. With comedians?
Yes.
Oh boy. I did not think with comedians.
We can start it.
Well, let's put Kevin Hart in there, cuz I don't think Kevin Hart can do wrong in a comedy right now. Not saying the movies are good.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kevin Hart is hilarious
he's
in
the
those
best.
Movies.
He's great.
Not exactly
so who is
comedy,
he?
But yeah, which one? The Ice Cube character or
no, let's change it up. Let's put him in the Spike Jonze role.
There you go. And that
just
can work.
Yeah. Go, yeah, yeah. He can definitely do a little off the wall.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I feel like
why are you telling people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. he's very solid at being self deprecating.
Do we give him a mullet? I vote for you. I vote yes.
Are we not going to? That's crazy.
A black mullet, which is like just a little
what
like
Ice Cube had in NWA.
Yeah, no, it's the it's the afro.
Was like Chucky Booker,
like a
Chucky
cliff
Booker?
At the bottom. Yeah, like
a cliff at the bottom.
What you do is you never line up the back for years and years and years, and you get that. Just that little
that
ledge.
Tuft.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely, sir. I know what you're talking about.
And who else?
Who else? Oh, man. Who could we put comedian-wise in the lead in George Clooney's role? Who
that's a really hard one. That took me. I could not decide. Because no comedians are anything like George Clooney. That's probably he is the antithesis. Like,
I mean, I don't think he's a comedian. But here's another guy who I think is funny in movies.
That works.
Is James Franco.
James
Franco kind of like works,
and he can do that weird line between like he can go from dead serious to really goofy. In a scene.
Yeah. And Clooney...
And Clooney's great at that.
Yeah.
He does it a lot in, like, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, too. I was like, God, you're fucking funny. That's not fair. Yeah.
I think it's his thing with ensembles, too. He just kind of knows how to, like, share the screen with everybody else. Like, he's never... He's a star because, like, to me, how subtle he is. And I just go, God damn, I just can't stop watching you, dude.
Yeah.
You know? All right, who else? So we have Kevin Hart. We have... who the hell did I just say?
This is where you find out Dwayne and I don't listen
Franco?
To our guests. James I honestly Franco? Just forgot to.
Franco, yes.
Who else could be solid in this movie? You guys feel free to help me out here as well.
All right, so let's go into...
You want to do yours? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I'll do mine. Feel
if
free
I think
to.
Of
when
somebody,
you come up,
you can
interject.
Yes.
For me, I put in George Clooney's role, and I was going like straight stand-up comics. I did Marc Maron. Only because
I could see that.
I could see him. That. He'd be a much more neurotic version, but I could see him being that. Clooney is pissed off at everything that has led him to this place. And that's kind of Maron's perpetual state. So I think I he's the only one I could think of. For Troy Barlow, which is Mark Wahlberg's character, this was a really hard one too, because he's super, for someone who is doing a very bad thing, he's really, really innocent in this movie. Like, just pure of heart. All he cares about is Spike Jonze's character being okay. All he cares about is his wife and daughter. Like, he is, aside from the fact that he's stealing a bunch of gold, like, an amazingly nice guy.
You can't steal gold.
Which is not very common. That's not too common among stand-up comics, so it was really hard to find like who is innocent and nice enough. And I thought of Tony Sam, who's done our show.
Oh yeah, yeah,
totally.
I can see
not
that.
You know, maybe not the physical embodiment of Mark Wahlberg, but who among us is?
That's it.
And then I had let's see, in Ice Cube's place, Al Jackson.
Solid.
I think Al Jackson.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
And
I
then
like that.
Conrad Veig, which was Spike Jonze, Ben Glebe. Ben Glebe, I think, could play like just a little off the fucking wall insane.
See, I would have
really
put Ben,
well.
I would have put Ben Glebe in Jamie Kennedy's role.
Oh, that's just offensive. Don't tell Ben that.
Yes, yes.
I would put Matt Bronger in Jamie Kennedy's role. he's a big fun and Matt, I love you, Matt.
Yeah. No, he could, very he could play the shit out of
solid doofus.
Yeah, yeah.
Doofus.
No, he could play the shit out of that.
Yeah.
I love Spike Jonze's character. That was the easiest one for me to come up with a bunch of people, because it's like, man, we could play crazy and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Comedians can do that. We're good at that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dwayne, what do you think, man?
Mine, I went like, I split the difference between like sort of funny and sexy and you know,
we're about to find out who Dwayne thinks is sexy.
Let's get to the sexy
contemporaries.
Come on now. Talk to us.
No homo. And Mark Wahlberg, I have Chris D'Elia. I just think he has that. You know, because I think Chris is a really good actor. He doesn't get enough credit. And, you know, he's got the sexy thing going. And he can run, you know.
And he can run.
But he's in shape. Because there's that one scene where he has to run.
Yeah.
Clooney, I want Louis C.K.
Yeah, he was on my radar.
I thought about him in there
Louis
as well.
Louis C.K.
He's
solid.
Really good at, and every time I see him play something dramatic, I'm more and more impressed at it.
He's solid.
Getting really great at it.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, I did a little something different here. You know, if your mind can conceive it, your heart can believe it, your body can what? Achieve it?
Achieve it.
So I put me for the Ice Cube role.
Wait a second.
I picked Al Jackson, and I'm like, I think Dwayne would be good, but I'm not going to say Dwayne. That's a cop out. And he said Dwayne.
I love it.
It was right there. You know what I mean? Al Jackson can do the when it goes to Broadway, he can do the play or the Ice Capade version or something.
You're going to give that to him?
Or the TV show, you know.
Ice Capade's version.
Spike Jonze, I went with Brent Morin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So an all undateable.
Yeah. I know. Almost. Yeah. And then I just thought about this, the Jamie Kennedy role, John Huck.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. John Huck's great.
John Huck is a lot of fun.
Yeah, John Huck would be great. Shout out to John, by the way.
And please, you know, no one take offense. Also, Jamie Kennedy, fucking great in this movie.
Yeah, very much so.
He was so good for so long. And like, in this movie, he played this like spectacular moron with like, it wasn't too dumb. It wasn't too over the top.
Yeah.
It was like somehow understated, even though this guy was scary stupid. Like, how he got a gun, I will never know. Yeah. That is terrifying.
I would love to see, I mean, you kind of like have heard the stories about like David O. Russell and like the crew on a lot of movies, but I'd love to see how at that point, like how he got that out of like Jamie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actors that I'm even like not crazy about, when I see them in his movies, I'm like, all right, I see the thing with Jennifer Lawrence. I'm not the biggest Jennifer Lawrence fan, but I saw Silver Linings Playbook, and I was like, I get it. Okay.
It's weird. It works. He seems to get it out of everyone, which is weird, too, because also a lot of people like evidently hate working with
him. Yeah, I mean, he's supposedly, I don't know how it is now, but back then it was
supposedly
rough.
Clooney punched him in the face on this set.
I highly recommend getting the DVD, listening to the commentary on there. Because David O. Russell is very open about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He talks about the way. Yeah. I mean,
he told him to hit him, and he hit him.
Yeah.
It's all right, there you have it.
That's what, like, when I heard that story, I was very much expecting, like, Clooney's an asshole. Not Clooney's an asshole, but him painting himself in the right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't at all. He was like, these are the situations we were under, and shit got heated, and I can be an asshole sometimes. And it's like, oh, man, well, all right.
I'm
interested to, like, watch his dynamic.
That sounds really interesting.
What are the rules on that? When someone says punch me, can you punch them in that?
For sure. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I think you have to punch them.
I didn't know that.
If you're shooting in like a small hole or like hovel of a cave.
Yeah, and there's like cast and crew all around. You're in a guy's face saying, hit me. If he doesn't hit you, everyone's like, man, that Clooney's a real bitch.
Yeah, look at
this. His career's over.
Yeah. I know ER goes again, buddy.
That about does it for this episode. Ricky, dude, thanks again for being here,
Thank you for having me.
That was great.
It was my pleasure.
Tell everybody where to find you on Twitter, Instagram.
I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram, both at Ricky Carmona. I'm on Tinder. Holla at your boy.
Yeah. first one to plug Tinder.
Yes!
That's why we had him back, guys.
DwaynePerkins.com. Everything you need is there. Holla at your boy. I'm not on Tinder, but catch me at your local Starbucks.
There you go.
Just look for me lurking around. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. And let's see. Warp Zone at the Virgil is next Tuesday, once every month, last Tuesday of the month. We are there. Come check that out. I'm also at the Brea Improv next Wednesday, the 26th, with Ricky. So if you're in that area, come check us out, guys. Ricky, thanks again for being here, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.